Are you ready to excel? Excel with Dr. Gina's Radio Chat Live. We'll explore topics from family, religion, finances, health, healing, and transformation. Dr. Gina's platform is your springboard to excel. Transformation is just a chat away. Let's talk about it, family.
Well, hello there. Welcome to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Oh my goodness, I'm over here in the studio rejoicing and praising God. We had major technical difficulties and I prayed and pressed. And I'm telling you, I'm so glad that God answered. I'm hoping that all the listeners, you guys are tuning in. There was a short delay, but God is in control. We are on live and I welcome you today. And it's just such a wonderful day. It's been such a trying couple of weeks, but I'm so excited to be with the Dr. Gina listeners, and this is just such a great day. Today, I'm so excited because we have Anitra Duran Allen, and she is the mother of Olivia Allen, and from the social media that I've been posting, and I know Anitra as well, we've been blasting out, and we wanted to talk about, have Olivia have the opportunity to tell her story and what a story it is and how God is using her. And of course, everybody knows that she's 10 years old. And so Olivia, because of the delay, she had to continue on with her academics and testings today at school. And so we're going to be praying for her that everything goes well for her. But bless her heart, she held on as long as she could. And so I'm so thankful because her mom, Anitra Allen, is here to join us. And I don't know if you guys know from any of the social postings, but she is a humdinger. I'm telling you, this woman has so much going on. God is using her to do great and mighty things, as well as with her daughter. And so Anitra, she is a life and relationship coach. She is she helped wives and moms experience the difference of marriage that works and parenting that works by learning to communicate without the emotion that causes conflict and developing the unique brilliance within their children. And so I'm just so thankful because there's so much meat into this woman that I want to have her on again. We're going to be talking today, though, just to narrow it down and focus, since we were going to have Olivia on. But again, I just wanted her, it's so much me to Anitra that I wanted to focus on just raising children and imparting into them the wisdom and knowledge of just their vision and what God has given them to pursue their divine purpose, even as a child. And so I want to really get into that, and I definitely want to have her on again to talk about marriage relationships and so forth. So I want to introduce Anitra Duran Allen. Are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for that gracious introduction and welcome.
Oh my gosh, Anitra, we have talked on the phone, you know, prior to this a couple of times, and I just enjoy talking to you so much. I mean, just the positivity and just the knowledge that God has given you with relationships. I can even hear your calmness when I had reached out to you. I wanted Olivia on, you both on so bad this morning, and just when we ran into the technical difficulties, you were really calm. And I just want to say thank you for that, you know, because I really wanted everything to go smoothly, and I wanted everything to, you know, I wanted people to hear her, but they will get the opportunity to hear her soon enough, because we're going to make plans for her to get back on. But I didn't want to miss the opportunity of you coming on the show, and I just want to say welcome and thank you for your calmness to help us when we were frantically trying to figure out what was going on.
So I'm a firm believer that stress comes from feeling like you have no other options, and there's always an option. There's always another way. There's always a different way to do things, even if it's not the way that we wanted things to happen. So I try to not get too stressed over things, but I can totally understand when things don't map out the way you intend for them to do, that sometimes it can be a bit stressful.
Yeah, and just because, you know, again, you know, with having, you know, Olivia on and wanting her to have that opportunity, but I just thank you so much. And so we're going to just get right into it. Can you tell us, just, I don't want to tell her story because I want her to have the opportunity to do that, but can you at least just give the listeners, I mean, just the background of who your daughter is?
Absolutely. So Olivia is the founder of the I Can Be Girls Confidence Movement, and through that she does a live event and conference that will be annual, and she has a blog and a website where she shares stories and encouragement with tween girls, so that's ages 8 to 12, about how they can be confident in themselves and go after their dreams. Olivia has always been a very giving and compassionate person, and she cares very much about people being happy, people being healthy, people being safe. And so my husband and I have had to learn how to parent her in a way that continues to build up her confidence within herself and her ability to believe that she can do anything, but also incorporate the compassion that she has for people and the humanitarian aspects of her personality at such a young age without her being taken advantage of. You know, that's, as parents, we want to protect our children. We want to make sure that they don't find themselves in situations where they get taken advantage of. And with such a sweet, giving spirit, we've really worked very hard to make sure that we continue to build her up without letting the world that she faces, that she wants to help so much, tear her down. But she's a 10-year-old super kid, and we are so proud and so blessed to be her parents. And I'm just excited about the things that she's doing, what God has placed in her, how I can help her as a mom, and the response that the public has had and how they've been inspired by the things that she's been able to do.
I mean, it's a very great testimony. It's definitely a story that a lot of mothers can be inspired by. And what's so unique about this than any other, and not trying to take away from any sports or any type of other extracurriculum that, you know, dance or violin or whatever, because I did dance, violin, and all of those type of things. And those are very well, you know, could be much a part of our children's divine purpose as they're walking, you know, walking it through life. But yet it's something like this sacrifice of, you know, her time and just how God has given her vision. It's just really amazing. And just to be able to see that as a parent, it just truly shows wisdom beyond their years. And a lot of times that could be intimidating for most parents. And then it could be where, when I say intimidating, I feel like it could intimidate them in a way where they're not quite sure how to handle that, how to nurture that, and is it too early, is it the right time, and maybe shun it off a little bit because of their age. But I've learned with my relationship with God that out of the mouths of babes, you know, there's a scripture in the New Testament that says that, and so he really loves the children. As a matter of fact, he wants us to be more childlike when we have in our relationship with him. And so it's not to be taken for granted when your child has a vision, especially when it's to build up, you know, people and children. And I just think it's a beautiful thing. When you first saw that in her, what was the first thing that you thought?
Well, I'll share a little bit of a story. It's probably something that Olivia won't share, so I don't feel like I'm taking anything away from her story. We were driving from school one day, and Olivia goes to school in a very urban part of the inner city of Louisville where we live. Her school sits actually in the middle of two federal housing projects, but it is a Montessori school, and so the instruction method is one that works very well for her and benefits all of the students. But we were leaving this area of town from her school, and two blocks away is a men's shelter. And so depending upon the time of day, the men are either coming or going or transitioning, waiting for their opportunity to get into the shelter. And this particular day, there happened to be a panhandler under the overpass where we were driving down the street. And he had, you know, the sign and the cup and, you know, please give me food or I need help or something to that nature. And Olivia says to me, Mommy, every time I see a homeless person, I just want to raise money to buy them a house.
Oh, wow.
And so in that moment, me as a parent, as a mom, and this is one of the things that I teach all of my clients, and especially when I'm working with moms, with gifted children, with driven children, in that mm-hmm. moment I had a decision to make. And that decision was, do I bring her to the reality of the fact that, okay, at 9 years old, you're not going to raise enough money to buy a house for anybody, much less a homeless person, you know, that may not be able to maintain the house and the bills and everything that goes along with it? Or do I take the opportunity to capitalize on, just like what you said, the vision that she had at that time that she didn't know how to manifest into a realistic prospect?
Mm.
And so what I said to her was, you know what? A house costs a lot of money. What else do you think you could do that's more feasible? And so I didn't actually deter her or, you know, respond to her in a way, like you said, that, you know, I wasn't intimidated by this vision that she had or the prospect that she wanted to do something as great as, you know, buying a house for all the homeless people that we see, because that's a lot of houses, right?
Yeah.
But I also, at the same time, I saw within her the will and the spirit of giving and redirected that to something that at 10 years old was a little more feasible, but I also let it be her idea. I never believe that we should reject the ideas that children bring to you or that we should impose our dreams and our will on our kids. We need to learn to nurture and cultivate the dreams that they have for themselves. Because I could have responded and said, well, you can't buy a house, but let's do this. And I didn't want that. I saw within her the desire and the gift and the vision that she had, and I redirected her to let her choose something with a little guidance and direction about what could be more doable, so that she still had that vision, she still had that desire, she still had that passion, because it was her idea, but it was in line with something that she could do. And so as a parent, when I saw that within her, my response was, how do I make this possible for her, and how do I help her understand how to own what it is that she has and how to execute what she wants to do on a level that she can own and control?
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That is amazing. So just with, so even with that, and so you get the ball rolling, and she's been consistent with you as far as continually adding on to the vision. I mean, is that where you guys are after you help her to establish the jump start of the vision, starting off, I guess, small and then working your way up? Because overall, that's her goal, is that she want to raise money or have some kind of organization where they can, you know, because they do have something like that where they build houses for people that are, you know, less mm-hmm. fortunate, but you don't hear too much about homeless, you know, so that's definitely the heart of the father that's within her. I mean, so as she continues to walk, are you starting to see more and more of this in between stage from the beginning to the ultimate goal developing within her? Are you seeing that, or do you ask her questions periodically, or do y'all have meetings? How does it go? Because you're like her manager, right? I mean, because basically you're her manager. You're her PR,
yes.
Her manager. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, I take that role very seriously, because, you know, as mm-hmm. her mother, I have to nurture, but as her protector, I have to manage. And so, yes, we do. My
right.
husband and I do take full responsibility on managing the community service projects that she does. She did her response to, you know, what could you do that's more feasible? She decided she wanted to do a toy drive for a local children's charity. And we talked about that. We talked about I want it to be her vision. And so we talked about what kind of people do you want to help? Are they children? Are they adults? Are they homeless? Are they sick? Are they hungry? Are they, you know, do they just need homework help? Do they need clothing? Where do you see yourself fitting in the overall spectrum of all of the things that you could do to help? So periodically I'll ask her, you know, are you thinking about something else that you would like to do? What other kinds of projects? She's done a toy drive. She's done a food drive with the local food bank here for their kids after a weekend food program. They send home, send food home with the kids on the weekends. So she did that. And that led her to doing the girls' conference. But we will periodically check in and say, okay, what do you think you want to do now? And sometimes she'll say, I think I have too much going on right now. Let's wait until later, and I'll say okay.
But sometimes
she'll say, let's plan to do this, yeah. and we can do it, you know, in this month. And I'll say, okay, fine. Because I never want them, both of my children, I'll never want them to believe that there's anything that they can't do. There's always an opportunity to do what it is that you want to do, and there's always a way to find your place and your space in the world. And I want them to learn that now, that they can do anything. They can do anything that they want to do. And sometimes when you try, you will fail. But that doesn't make it the end, and it's not the end of the world.
Yes.
So we support them in anything that they want to do. If they want to do it, if it's their vision, then we create a situation and we provide the resources and the support where they can carry that out. And if they choose, no, I don't want to do that today, then we don't push them. Because of the fact that if it's our vision,
right.
at some point they'll reject it. If it's their vision, they will always embrace it.
Yes. And, you know, that's something, because I was just going to ask you, well, two things I wanted to ask you. First, you know, with her schedule with school and she's 10, that means they're getting her prepared for middle school. Because where you are, 10th, 5th grade, right? She's in 5th grade?
Yes.
So they're preparing her for 6th grade middle school, and so I know that the homework is more demanding and, you know, just the academics is just a lot more, you know, the reading, the writing, you know, the paragraphs and your punctuations, and they're in geometry already in 5th grade. I mean, I think I did geometry in 9th grade. But they're just so advanced right now. And so with all of that, I can appreciate you being a mom and not, you know, and her father not pushing, you know, an itinerary upon her, it just with all the, her other parts of life. And then her being a 10-year-old kid. I mean, she's 10, you know, so there's playtime. You know, they got to have playtime. Because my son is 10, so I know it's times where they're very mature, and then there's times when they're 10. They're just 10-year-olds, you know. So with you saying that, you know, both of your girls, how old is your other daughter, and what's her name?
My younger daughter is 8. Her name is Alexandra, or as we call her, the athlete. So I thought that was funny that you brought up, you know, sometimes sports is a valid extracurricular. It's just not the one that Olivia's interested in, but Alexandra is a die-hard athlete. She's actually the 6th fastest 8-year-old girl in the nation. She ran track this summer. And
wow.
She did very, very well. She did very, very well.
Well, Anitra, how do you balance both their God-given talents and gifts? I mean, how do you both do that? I mean, because you got Anitra's schedule, and then you got, I know sports is, like Emmanuel, he plays football, and he's off mm-hmm. this season, but his schedule was just, it was very demanding on top of his extra, his, you know, homework and, you know, his other stuff. He's, you know, president of his organization, Young Men, Young Leaders, and, I mean, how do you balance that with two extraordinary children?
We are very intentional about the things that we do and the things that we allow our children to be involved in. But we also put a cap on the things that they can do. We tell them at any given moment you can be doing two extracurriculars, you know, and that's anything that happens outside of the home. If it's something that happens within school, that's counted as a school activity, not an extracurricular. But we really make them face choices and understand in life you can't do everything. And so you have to really be committed to what it is that you're going to do and to make those choices. And we want them to do that now because they always have time to try other things. If you want to try something new, that's great. But understand, if you want to do something you love versus try something new, you're making a choice, you know, because time is limited. And I want them to begin to learn and understand that now and to build time management and self-management skills, you know, at this age. Because we're, you know, I tell my clients all of the time, we are raising adults from the day that they're born. They will only be children for so long. And once they get to an age where it's like, oh, my gosh, they're going to be 18 soon, that's too late for you to start raising an adult. It's too late for you to start implanting and instilling in them the things that they will need to be successful as an adult. And so my husband and I are very, very intentional about teaching them the life skills that they will need to be successful as adults right now as children, giving them the experiences that will shape who they are and that would, you know, make someone, you know, I don't want them going to college and being at college the first time that they experience having to write a check, you know, for something or how to balance their checkbook or, you know, how to manage money or how to resolve conflict in relationships. So we're very intentional about that. But as far as our schedule is concerned, my husband and I work together very, very well. I am fortunate to have a very fabulously supportive and loving husband. He's an awesome father. And we work together to share the load. Whenever Alexandra is doing sports, if it's something that... Yep, shout out to my husband. I love him very much. If there's something that he can coach, then he's the coach. So he coached our basketball team last year. We just finished flag football season for Alexandra. He was the coach there. If it's something that he doesn't feel like he has, you know, the skill or he's not at that level with track, we had her on an actual elite track team. Because, you know, there's some things that's outside of the realm that we can do. And so we're realistic about that as well. So we share that schedule. And then we also build a network of support to help us and to support us and to be there, you know, sometimes when we can. Now, we live in a city where we don't have family. It's just my husband and me and our children. And so we have built a network of support within our church, within our group organizations, within the kids' schools, you know, other parents and friends, so that if there is something that we can't do or we can't make it, then we know at least that we have that backup to say, hey, I can't do this. I can't pick them up. Can you be there for me? I got to go out of town. Can you help out Harold with this, you know, or those kinds of things? So the first point is we're very intentional. The second point is we make sure that they understand they have to make choices. There's not enough time in the day. And the third is we build a network of support and we include ourselves in whatever it is that they're doing so that we understand what's happening and we know how we have to manage our time in order to manage theirs.
Well, Anitra, let's, you know, I want to get really into, you know, what exactly when you say your clients, I want the listeners to get to know more about you and what you do outside of, I mean, because it's all one thing, so it's no separation, but then there is, because this is your life. But I want them to know you. And I want to start off by saying this, you know, by closing out from Olivia and your other daughter and everything that's going on. I want Olivia to tell all of her stuff, and I wanted to talk about, you know, being a sibling and all of that. My thing is, I guess you have heard about Snoop Dogg's son, Cordell. I did Hot Topics yesterday. Yeah. And so what advice can you help
parents know the signs of when, because you made a very valid point, when it becomes your vision and you take it from their vision, it'll frustrate them. I'm paraphrasing what you said, but pretty much you were saying when it becomes your vision, it's taken away from them, and that you want to always make sure that their vision stays alive and that they're the creative, you know, force behind it as you, you know, balance them and nurture them and structure them. But in a situation like that, can you help our listeners as parents know the signs of that frustration? Because I think we can get so caught up in the in us enjoying the activities that we miss that right. they're really not happy and it's not just a bad day.
Right, exactly. So I think there are a few signs, but before we actually get to what those signs are, we have to talk about what you know about your kids. And that's number one, is you really right. have to know your children. You have to know who they are from the inside out, not just what they like to do, where they are, how old they are, when they were born, you know, where they fit in the family. You have to know your children's personality. You know, from the inside, you have to understand their motivation. You have to know how they love and how they perceive love. I am a firm, staunch advocate of Gary Chapman's The Five Love Languages. I think that it is probably the most pivotal study and opportunity out there for people to learn how to interact and how to understand their loved ones. And he's expanded his franchise so that he has the five love languages for children and the five love languages for teenagers as well. And I strongly encourage all of the listeners to go to his website, the5lovelanguages.com, and you can take the assessment right there online. Your kids can take it. You can take it as a parent for your children. You can take it for yourself, because that will begin to open the door to the pattern of communication as well as indicators for those interactions, right? Because there are going to be some clear signs, right? A very clear sign would be if you had a stellar athlete that all of a sudden is not doing as well anymore. They're no longer stellar. They're, you know, they've fallen off and they're not the kind of athlete that they used to be. You know, who would have ever known or thought that equestrian sports might have been something somebody might be interested in?
Right.
We wouldn't, not from my background where we came from. You know, we didn't
yes.
have horses, much less ride them. But that just might be the thing that your child is gifted at. And if they don't have that experience,
I mean, Anitra, this is just so
them true. Where we want to go. You know, and see, we just have to get to know our children, open the door, and support the dreams that they have for themselves and not the dreams that we have for them.
Really taking that time to listen to their thoughts, their ideas. I mean, ask them questions, really having a conversation with them. Yeah, they're children and you're an adult. But I think a lot of times, you know, it's do what I say and don't, you know, it's that old school, you know, but our parents were different then. What worked then worked, you know, for us. And we have to, like, you know, break a lot of things that we, because a lot of us as parents, we may have suffered a lot from not being able to express ourselves and our creativity and our ideas and things like that. You know, just do what I tell you or come on or whatever, you know, this, the hustle and bustle
exactly.
of just raising a child. But nowadays it's so with things going on in the world the way they are in our streets, period. We have to communicate with our children. We have to know, you know, their fears, their insecurities, you know, and they got some, we got them. So just like we battle with certain things, personalities, relationships, they go through that at school, you know, when they're feeling like they got big dreams of how I'm going to do it, you know, their insecurities of how can I do this when I don't have, you know, the finances and who's going to believe in me. I mean, they have those same things that we as adults either have grown up with or dealing with now, or, you know, just got delivered from. So for us to be able to have more compassion towards them being children and taking that time to really get to know them is so imperative. And you were saying, when I asked you about the signs, you said get to know your children. And what would be the signs after, you know, of course, you got to know them or you're talking? That's the first thing. What's the next one?
Right. Right. So get to know your children and understand when their behavior begins to change, so that you can assess, like I said, is this just a shift in who they are as a person and their interest? Are they going, as we were talking, you know, during the break, are they going from being an adolescent to a teenager, and so their interests are changing, and things like that? Has their performance in that area of something that they loved just completely dropped off completely in their interest, and they become disinterested, or they become depressed, or their behavior changes toward you, you know, where they used to be open and talk to you a lot and, you know, be the lines of communication were open, now they don't want to talk about things anymore. You know, if they just completely walk away from it, obviously that's a sign. But a lot of times, it's not so much that the kid is no longer interested in the activity, it's that they believe you are more interested in the activity than you're interested in them.
And you done took over. And you done took over. I'm talking to those parents that I done seen going off on their kids on the side of the field. I'm talking about them parents that just push, and, you know, don't even ask their kids any questions or any ideas or even how they feel for that matter. Did you have a good day or any of that? I'm talking to those parents. That's right, Anitra. That's right. I mean, when you become the athlete and you're not even out there, you in the stands, but now you the athlete.
Right.
We talking to y'all. Listen, pull back, okay? Find a seat or a thousand and sit down and let your
I can't remember the name of the author, and I'm going to have to find that, and I'm going to email you so that we can post it. But it was an author, and he recently wrote a book. John O'Sullivan, that's his name.
Okay. John O'Sullivan.
And I can't remember the name of the book, but it's something about changing the game, something like that. And he is specifically talking about how to change the dynamic in youth sports. And he came and did a seminar at my daughter's school, and my husband and I went, because, you know, we have a premier, an elite athlete. You know, she's sixth in the nation. That's all American.
It's so amazing.
We wanted to make sure that we were approaching this from the right perspective. And the one thing that he said that stuck with me, there were very many things that he said that were great. The one thing he said that stuck with me, especially when we're talking about parents of athletes, is that the best thing you can tell your child when it comes to their performance, when it comes to their games, you know, when it comes to the emotions that they're dealing with, whether they won a tough game and they're on an emotional high, whether they lost one and they're on an emotional low, the best thing and the only thing as parents that we should ever say to our children is, I love to watch you play.
Mm.
And that's it. Because sometimes the kids don't want to talk about it. They have emotions just like we do. I always say that children are really just small adults without the ability to communicate. Like, they have the same emotions. They have the same feelings. They go through the same, you know, biochemistry and you know, all of the things that we do. They just can't communicate the way that we do. They don't have the same cognitive ability. But sometimes they may not want to talk about it. You know, sometimes they may be going to that point where they decide, you know what, I'm not sure that I really want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe I want to take piano lessons and not play soccer. And they have the right to have those feelings, but if they don't feel as though they can come to you because of how, you know, intense you are with their performance in that particular area, then they're not going to talk to you about it. And if you just express just those few words, I love to watch you play, it tells them that in addition to this sport that you enjoy, that your enjoyment is more about the child than it is about the sport.
Right. And you know what? I think that dialogue, and I was going to say, so parents, listen, you need to calm down. You need to stop popping off and going off on the coaches and embarrassing your child and the team and all of that. Listen, I've seen kids snatched up from the sideline, you know, and it's really not a good situation at all. And so even with just those words that you said, You know, I love to watch you play. I'm into you. I'm into you. I don't see, because they go through so much on the team. They got stuff, the coaches, you know, they can be a little extra. You got the opposite team. They coming at them saying, you know, whatever they're saying because they're in opposition. They're trying to get in their heads. Or you got your own teammates that might say, well, gosh, why you ain't make that shot or why you didn't do this or whatever. Uh-huh. So it's pressure. And it's just like you would think about the pressure on your job. Think about one of those weeks right. that you had at work when your supervisor and the boss over your supervisor and the ones that you delegate and your and the ones you work with just all on your case. Everybody done had a bad season, a bad week, you know, and it's not really considered bad. It's really to test you where you are, to really allow you to see, prioritize what is more important. And I think those few words, that dialogue, I love to see you watch, opens your child up to say, wow, they really care about me. And I feel like that's even an opportunity for them to feel safe enough to open up to right. you, to tell you what's going on. And we need to know what's going on with our children mentally, emotionally, physically, so we can know what to pray about, so we can know, you know, how to stand for them, how to teach them, how to guide them, how to handle things. I mean, it is just the work of the enemy to bring the division of lack of communication with our children. We need to be more exactly. proactive and not responsive to something that's happening. We don't want to know that our kids have been hurt in a situation where they've been affected through with classmates in school being bullied. We want to know beforehand, how was your day, or, you know, how's the relationships with your school, so we can know what's going on. I love how I relate my relationship with my son, my house, and I'm pretty sure yours is going to be like that too, if it's not already. Is the house to go to. All the kids love to come to my house. And I love mm-hmm. the fact that they feel safe enough to be able to tell me who's got a girlfriend, who's liking who, what girl, kid, you know, all of this stuff, you know, so I can know what's going on. They feel safe. And that makes my son feel like, hey, my mom is, I can talk to her about things too. And so he's been able to open up with me without being shy and all of that stuff. I mean, but it's just several things. It's several things about getting to know our children, the value of that. And I love that. I think that dialogue, I love to watch you play, or I love to hear you play, or I love to see your excitement about, you know, your academics. I love how you feel about math. I mean, just it's encouraging in that. Do you hear the encouragement in that? It's saying yeah. you enjoy me as your child. I'm not just a responsibility. We have a relationship. Exactly. I love that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's some
and
good
that's why
stuff,
it's, so mm-hmm. it's vitally important to get to know and understand who they are, because it opens the doors and the lines of communication in the small things, so that when there are big things like, Dad, I know you love football, but I'm done. They feel comfortable coming to you to say those things without feeling as though there's going to be repercussions or retribution, you know, because that is why our children will continue to do things to please us, even if they don't enjoy them or, you know, they no longer want to do it, because they don't want to disappoint us, and they certainly don't want there to be, you know, any negative repercussions or backlash from saying, yeah, I don't really want to do that anymore. And one of the scriptures that really sticks with me as I work with my parents and that God gave me as a part of developing some of the programs that I have and the talks that I give to parents is Ephesians 6 and 4. And I particularly like the New Living Translation, because it says, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them.
Yes, yes. Preach.
Instead, raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so that says a couple of things. Number one, I'm not supposed to make my children angry. What?
Yes.
It always kind of stops parents in their tracks when I bring that scripture out, and they're like, so what exactly am I supposed to do? I'm not supposed to make them angry. But the notion is that you're not supposed to intentionally provoke them to anger and to make them angry and to make them feel bad about themselves, to make
yes.
them feel less than, to make them feel anything other than the way that God sees them, which is the way that we should see them, but raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The same way that God chastises us but loves us is the way that we should involve and engage with our children. But if they don't feel open enough to come to talk to us because they don't believe that we know who they are, then while we may not be purposefully provoking them, we're provoking them.
Yes.
In ways that we may never even see.
I mean, listen, raising a child is a conscious activity. It's a conscious way of life. It is a sobering way of living. It's definitely selfless, and it's more than just financial, and it's more than just the clothes and the roof, you know, on their backs and the roof over their head and food in their stomachs. It's definitely, you are raising a member of society. You're raising a person with their idea. It's just so much more responsibility. And I love that, because at the end of the day, and I really want to get into you, Anitra, with all of the different things in your website and all of that. With, like, I just wanted to share this with Emmanuel, just with his relationship with God. From the very beginning, I led him to the Lord, you know, and from the very beginning, I impart into him the very thing, the structure that God has laid for my life, which is him being the foundation of my life, and he's also the foundation of my son's life. So I've always encouraged him to have a relationship with God that through his journey and his steps being ordered, that he will hear God ordering him his steps and giving him direction. Him sitting out this fall was a direction from God. Now, I could have said to him, well, no, that ain't God. No, you play football. You love football. You love football, so you're going to play football. You ain't got time to wait. I could have just, you know, ignored. But because I have a relationship with the Lord, and I know how God would minister to me, I want him to have that same relationship, and I know that's what God wants, because it's in my heart to lead him that way, that he understands that when he hears God's instructions, that his job is to obey his father. Okay, and so out of obedience, that's when, you know, God can trust you with little and advance you to much. With these type of things that our children are called to do, Olivia and your other daughter with the athletes, and, you know, you and your husband and all of us, all of our positions play a role for the kingdom. And so therefore, when our children have a relationship with God, okay, so they're being trained that no matter how far I take you in this, okay, you're going to always be obedient to me. You're not going to want to please man, but you're going to want to please me. This is what my son learned. I have to learn that when I'm, you know, go to college and it's the choice of what school I go to, I get a scholarship to play football, I need to get direction from from Father, who is the author and the finisher of my life, who knows the beginning from the end, you know, and I have to trust him for the in-between. So it's just really... that scripture is so great, and you, as a parent, don't have to feel like you have to hover over your children and be demanding. When I say that, bullyish, mean, you know, I mean, if you start a relationship with them, there's a trust factor on both ends. There's a respect that they would have for you, and a trust factor that you have their back and that you are the one that will impart into them, and et cetera. But then that's also the thing where you teach them how to reverence God. Listen, you know, he chose me to be your mom. So, you know, out of obedience to him, you'll be obedient to me, you know, because he's, you know, the one that brought you into this world, you know, at the end of the day.
Right. And so, the scripture right before that, one that I just mentioned, in Ephesians 6:3, it says, if you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life. So it leads right into children, this is how you should behave with your parents, but also parents, we have certain ways that we should behave with our children. And it's a
and treat our children. Yes, and it's just because you being nice to them doesn't mean that you're being wimpy. I mean, you being nice to them because
right.
these are your children and you love them. You want to have a relationship. And just because they don't agree with you don't mean that they disrespect you. Just because they
right.
like football, they may not want to play football. Just because they like watching it with you or going with you does not necessarily mean they have the desire to play anymore. And a lot of times we get so caught up in ourselves as parents, we don't understand the roughness on these children's bodies as well. If they don't want to do it anymore, or don't push them to do it, because that's how they'll get hurt. That's just my word of advice to any pushy parent out there. And I love you. We're just trying to help a nation, help the people, you
and
know.
Because one last thing I want to add to that is make sure that you understand what their motivation is. But more importantly, make sure they understand what their motivation
that's
is.
That's good.
Because a lot of times they can make decisions based upon what they think you want.
Yes,
and
that's good, Anitra.
The decision, it has to be theirs, and they have to own it, and they should be able to articulate it, and they should be able to explain it. We're having, like you said, we're having this process of going through identifying middle schools, and my younger daughter goes to an independent school, but my oldest daughter is in the public school system. And our middle schools, our public school system is very, very large. And when it comes down to it, there's a lot of choices, but parents don't necessarily have many options. And so we've been talking about this with my daughter and saying, you know, Olivia, maybe you should go to the independent school with Alexandra. Maybe you can go to private school. And her response was that she didn't want to go to private school. And so I asked her why. And she gave me a list of reasons of why she didn't want to go to private schools. And a lot of them were groundless. You know, they were based in assumptions. They were based in the idea that she experienced anecdotally from her sister going to a private school, but her still being in a public school. And so we had that conversation, and we talked about, well, what does this really mean, you know? Yes, at private school you have to wear a uniform, but we're in a public school system where several of our public schools still wear uniforms. So it doesn't mean, you know, that one way is different or one way is better than the other. It's really
yes.
important that they understand their motivation and that their motivation is solid and valid when they make those choices, and one that they realize they have to live with once they make the choice.
That is great information. So, Anitra, as we done covered, you know, I'm sure we have given the listeners a earful of suggestions on just to help, you know, the communication with our children and just really to guide them in the way of their divine purpose. And, you know, feeling confident within ourselves that even it doesn't take a lot of money. It just takes prayer. It just takes a relationship with the Father and allowing Him to give you what you need to impart into them so that they will be guided in the right direction according to His will. And that's basically it. We really want our children to be able to have every opportunity, not just to go to school, but to be owners of things and organizers and caregivers and kingdom builders, you know, and it's just so important nowadays. It's so important. And we need that. We need a multitude of young apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. But we need a multitude of entrepreneurs and we need
yes,
to start
absolutely.
Gaining land and territory. Right. So this is so great. And I hope that this has encouraged plenty of parents, mothers and fathers, single or married. Just really, it's never too late. You know, God will restore any years that may have been stolen. We understand that, you know, you only do what you are capable of doing, what you know to do. We know that life happens. We know that every person goes through something, and we get that, you know, but you know what? We all grow from every era of you know, mistakes or shortcomings or whatever. And if you are on this track, God bless you. Keep it up. Be encouraged. Be watchful for those things that'll try to, you know, detour you from remaining on that path. You know, like time and work schedules and life and things like that. Just make a conscious decision to continue to impart into your children, because we are all in this together. Right, Anitra?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Lanitra,
it takes a village to raise a child.
It takes a village. Yes. So tell us more about, okay, as we get ready to close out, you and you talk about your clients. Please, I'm so glad that we did have the technical issue in a sense, because this is getting good too. And we want to know more about you. I mean, because we know your passion is for, you know, developing relationships with children, and that's only one part. But can you give us a briefing? Because I've got to have you back on, child, because we need to know more about healthy marriages. We hear about people popping up all over the place. They're relationship specialists and they're marriage specialists, but I know firsthand from talking to you on the occasions that I have, you are definitely anointed. And what I loved about what sets you apart from just being, you know, saying that you are, you know, or your credentials of being a specialist, is that emotional part. When you said in your bio, you take away the emotions. I think that is such a key word as far as what sets you apart, because that's something that on both ends, husbands and the wives and singles need to understand that when those emotions come in, come on now. So can you go ahead and pick up from there and tell us, you know, about your clients, you know, who are they? And if somebody wanted to be one, how can they become one? How does this go? Tell us about you.
Absolutely. So I actually have, I'm in the process of rebranding on my website. My website is AnitraDurandAllen.com, basically just my name. But I help wives, moms, and goal-oriented women experience the difference of marriage that works and parenting that works, like you said, by learning to communicate without the emotion that causes conflict. Because I believe what happens is we are emotional beings by nature. When we begin to communicate from an emotional place, we incite the other person to their emotions, and then it just keeps going. And it's a concept that I call the cycle of bliss. And if you go to my website, there's a tab on the coaching tab. You can see the cycle of bliss. And it basically says that when you are impacted and the way that you love is offended, right? Someone comes against you, they come against your love language, right? That's one of the reasons I'm a strong proponent of that. Then that impacts the way that you think. It impacts the way you think about the person. It impacts the way you think about the interaction. It impacts the way you think about yourself in the interaction. Well, why would they do this to me? And what must they be thinking? And what are they going to do? And where are they coming from? And what must have happened to them? And why are they doing this to me? And then that, in turn, impacts the way that you behave. And so you respond according to the emotional stress or trauma that you perceived, as opposed to the actual interaction or the message that may have been delivered behind the emotion. And so when we can begin to understand who we are from an emotional perspective and understanding how we can increase our emotional intelligence, we can remove emotion from our communication. And we can stop ourselves if we get into that negative cycle pattern, right? Let's just say someone comes to you and they say, Gina, and they do something and you're feeling some kind of way and you get into that negative cycle of bliss. When you behave and respond to them, you can trigger them. Then they're in the cycle. Then they do something else that triggers you and you're in the cycle. And that's how arguments keep going. But when we increase our emotional intelligence, when we understand, okay, I feel this kind of way. I'm feeling some kind of way about that because my love language is words of affirmation, and they just said something crazy to me. And so that impacts the way that I think, but I don't have to respond that way. I don't have to let my emotions carry me through that cycle to where I'm responding from an emotional place. That's when you can begin to improve the nature of your relationship, take control of your emotions, and change the course of your interactions with people. And it can happen with your marriage, it can happen with your children, and it can happen in your workplace or your job, your career, or your passions. And so under my The Mom on the Move, I do a lot of coaching with moms. I focus on moms who have school-aged children, and children who are gifted and talented and do wonderful things in that way. But then under my new brand that'll be coming out very soon on my marriage side, I focus on couple interactions and couple relationships. And we talk about how to understand the other person. And we talk about the 8 different aspects of marriage that are necessary for you to get involved in a healthy, happy marriage. I think what happens in marriage is that everybody plans a wedding, but we don't focus enough time on planning the marriage. Until we get into it, and that wedding was one day, and then 2 weeks later, you're like, oh, I didn't know this about you, but now we're together. Now we have to live together. And we didn't actually spend the time focusing on those 8 different areas of getting to understand how are we going to function in this marriage. But then in the corporate arena, I focus on effective communication, you know, again, because if you understand how to communicate and if you understand how to manage your emotions and increase your emotional intelligence, you can improve your presentation. You can improve the way you show up in the job. You can improve the way that you create your written documentation. And you can improve your interactions with those with whom you would like to be connected and with whom you need to be connected in order to rise in whatever area of expertise or professionalism that you want to do. So those are the 3 areas. I work with parenting, I work with marriages, and then I work with women in the workplace. And it's all based on emotional intelligence and understanding how to remove that emotion from your communication. Because the emotion is what causes conflict. It's not the communication.
Oh, my gosh. You are so right. Because it's not what you say, it's how it's said. So whatever that emotion is behind it.
But even more, it's how it's received.
Right, yeah. But when you going back to the love language and getting to know even, you know, your coworkers, and it's got to be, you know, there's a system to that, you know, to know each individual and what will motivate them. You know, again, it would be the same thing as your children, siblings, I would think, right? That, you know, I guess with me delegating with a ministry, I've experienced that every person is different. You know, every person will not respond to certain things, and every person does not need the same thing. Some people may need more motivation than the others. Somebody else may feel like you're micromanaging. So what's the language in that? Let me ask you this. So Anitra, for the person that doesn't feel like that's necessary, how would you motivate that person to take an interest in knowing that this is a necessary thing to, you know, look into and maybe just reflect and see if that's in you to be able to do that? Because some people just simply be like, look, I don't got time for all of that. Look, I got a job to do. My supervisor's on me. I got to make sure it's done. I ain't got time to know what Becky needs or Sam needs. I need everybody to just do the job. Or, you know, how do you, or even with a marriage, this is my idea of marriage. I don't really, you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to do this. You know, and this is what a man does, or this is what a woman's supposed to do, but you're not learning this individual's language. Help the person that is struggling with seeing this is some hogwash. This is some mess. I don't have time for that. How do you motivate that person?
So I'm going to take a page from Dr. Phil's book, and I'm going to admit I don't often watch his show, but I'm going to ask you, how's that working for you? If you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always gotten.
Right.
If you're doing, if you haven't changed your approach, and that's not working for you, then if trying something else is not, if you're not open to trying something else, then I probably can't help you, because you're going to keep getting what you've always gotten. You know, you have to be open to seeing, you know, that there is a challenge and that there is another way that you can go about doing things, you know. And what I say to people all the time is, once you become more self-aware, then you can begin to be more other-focused. Because when you learn about who you are and you understand what makes you tick and you understand what sets you off, then you can begin to see, oh, well, if that does that to me, then maybe it does that to someone else. But if it doesn't do it to someone else, then what does do that for someone
yes.
else? You know, once you begin to learn about yourself, so if you don't, for the person who thinks, you know what, this might not be what I want to do, I don't have time to learn about other people, I don't have time to do all of this kind of thing, if you are still open to changing the way that you've done things, if it's not working for you, then you can learn about yourself. You don't have to spend the time investing in a lot of energy and a lot of effort about trying to learn about everyone else. If you take this little bit of time that it takes to learn about yourself, because it'll open your eyes to how other people may behave if you understand why it is that you behave the way that you do.
Hey, but check this out, Anitra. Even if it's working for them, right? Say, for instance, it's working for them. They're frustrated. You're putting a lot more energy into stuff than things, the situations, than you actually have to. It may be working slightly. It may not be working to the full capacity, but if that's enough for you, and I'm speaking to that individual, I mean, aren't you going home tired? Are you, you know, able to spend as much time with your family? Because remember, if you're a micromanager, or if you're a people pleaser, or if you're insecure, and all of those are rooted from insecurities, I mean, it'll wear on you after a while, physically and emotionally and mentally. So yeah, my next question would be like, okay, if they say, yeah, it's working for me, but my thing is, okay, how do you feel at the end of the day, or after the end of each quota is met, or, you know, how are you feeling after that? Because again, you know, micromanagers and people pleasing, that takes a lot out of you as an individual. Because you just can't please everybody.
And you sure can. And if you go to my website, you can download. I have a guide that I use. It's a free guide that I give to anyone that's interested in having it. And you can download the 5 steps to a stress-free relationship, or the 5 steps to having bliss in relationship in all areas of your relationship. And there's 5 of them. I won't go through all 5 of them today, but I will talk about the one that is most important to me, and I think it will get to the point that you're making. And that is, you have to act in accordance to your responsibility to the relationship. And what typically happens is we get really frustrated because we've given so much and it's not reciprocated or it's not appreciated, but we may have gone beyond our call of duty. Or on the flip side, we don't give enough, and then we're stressed out because we're being asked to do more than what we feel is necessary or what we want to do, and that stress weighs on us because now we have to do more than what we expected or what we really want to do, but we haven't given in accordance to our responsibility to the relationship. And
yes.
So you really have to check that, and you have to understand, what is my responsibility to this relationship? If you're at work and you have a job description, what is my job description? Am I working within the confines of my job description? If I choose to go over that boundary, it's my choice.
Yes.
And I accept the consequences that go along with that. If I choose not to meet the low end of the bar for that responsibility, it's my choice once again. But I
and
have
Anitra,
to
just to break
to
in real quick for that.
That, go with that.
And Anitra, just to cut into that just right there, is that your motivation, remember you were saying with even the children, find out what your motivations are. So wouldn't you say, mm-hmm. if I am going over and beyond, and it's my choice, what am I motivated by? Am I doing it because, you know, I simply get gratification for myself and it makes me feel
right.
great, or am I looking for some kind of praise? Because then if you don't
right.
get
and
that, then that's going to cause an emotional, they don't appreciate me, look at what I've done. And all in all, didn't nobody ask you to do the extra. You did it
right,
because
right.
you
right,
chose
exactly.
to
and,
do
and
it.
Right, exactly. And that's actually step number one. Step number one is knowing what you want from the relationship. You really have to know what you want. You have to understand where that's coming from. So you're exactly right. You have to understand what that motivation is, what is motivating you to do the things that you're doing. But then you have to accept and recognize that it's a choice. It is your choice. We have choices in life. We exercise those choices every day. A lot of the choices we exercise, oftentimes we feel as though they are not choices, that they're requirements, they're, you know, they're mandates, but they're really choices. They are choices. We everything that we do is a choice. And so you have to know what it is that you want and then act accordingly to the responsibility that you have, and if you don't, recognize that it's a choice and accept the consequences that go along with it.
Mm-hmm. I just, and you know what, that's good. And I just when you were talking, I was going back to our children because, you know, it's all relevant in what you do. When I think about children, how they want to please us for the most part when they mm-hmm. make their choices to do certain things, a chore, if they want to, you know, they're making a decision to do stuff. And as they get older, of course, you know, manipulation may try to squeeze in there and they might want to do stuff to get, you know, to go out to the mall or get a new pair of tennis shoes or whatever. And we have to really, really be able to recognize that, but also to understand it's no different than us wanting to get praise or an award from a job. So we really have to, instead of beating that down, recognize that it is a source of manipulation, but also how to teach them, like what you were saying, you know, find out what your motivation is. So, because if you decide to do this and you don't get the result that you were hoping for, you're going to be okay with that. You took a chance, it didn't work. And so, or, you know, it could work, but it may not work. And you have to adjust.
It might not work, and that's okay.
And you, yeah, and you have to realize that, you know what, I gave it a try, but you can't get emotionally upset or feel rejected or feel, you know, all these other emotions because you chose to make a decision to try something that may or may not have worked. And I think that's, again, us knowing ourselves and knowing our children and knowing our spouses and getting to know our coworkers, you know, on the job.
Right. Well,
so,
yeah,
this is good stuff.
I think you can feel those emotions because the emotions are valid, and that's another thing that I always teach is to feel. You have to feel those emotions. You have to give yourself the time and the space to feel what you feel because it's a valid. They're real, but you can't let those emotions control what you do.
Yeah. So need to take 10 minutes. Count to 10, go in the bathroom, go somewhere and count to 20, you know, and really look at it, you know, before you respond. And I think a lot of times reaction is, you know, strong emotions can drive out a really strong reaction. And that's where relationships are damaged because you can't take words back that once they've said or, you know, if you've taken action, you know, some of those things will be forgiven and some people don't. Not everybody's a believer in forgiveness, you know. So, you know, to really, really be able to have healthy relationships is to know when you're feeling angry and be slow to speak. And that's something that takes willpower. It takes for you to practice. It's something that's a work in process. It's an ongoing daily process.
A quick story about, you know, just what you were talking about. When I was very young in my career, I was very smart. I graduated from high school, top of my class. I went to university and got a degree in biomedical engineering, completed that successfully in 4 years, you know, went straight into the corporate world. I was young and I was hot-headed, and I thought that I knew quite a bit, which I did, but, you know, obviously I was very confident in the way that I expressed myself. And I had a boss who his words left a lot to be desired, and his approach left a lot to be desired. And I would find myself filling a bottle of water before I went into his office for one-on-one. Because of the fact that when he would say things, it would just hit me in such a way. I later learned that my primary love language is words of affirmation. So it makes sense that when people say things to me that I don't like or that offend me in some way, it makes me feel some kind of way about it. So that every time he said something crazy, I would take a drink of water. Because I knew that if I didn't put something in my mouth, something was coming out that would probably cause me to be reprimanded or to get in trouble or to be written up for that. And that was kind of one of those self-regulating things that because I was, and I may not have been cognizant of how I was managing those emotions, but I knew enough that I knew I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want to let my emotions take control of that situation because I needed that job, I needed the money, and I wanted to stay where I was working. So I found a way, a coping mechanism, you know, to manage that. And that's what we all need to be able to. But it starts with knowing what your triggers are. You have to know what your triggers are, and that starts with understanding your love language. I mean, it all goes back to knowing how you perceive love and how you understand and interact in a way that speaks love to you so that you can create those coping mechanisms, you can create that process of managing those emotions, and so that you don't find yourself with a non-controlled emotional response. You can still have the emotional response, but it should be under control.
Wow. Well, please give us your website again and just any other information, any events that are coming up. And I want everybody to know that Olivia had school today, and so because of the technical difficulties, and I so appreciate Anitra, you being on and filling in this whole segment. It was so amazing. We got to have you back on again. I'm going to pick one, whatever, however God does it, because you got three or four different things, topics that we can use, and I would love to have you on in the spring, because we're booked up until March, but I gotta get Olivia back on. So if we can do something to kind of get her, and we can do a replay, but it's nothing like live. So we're gonna work that out, listeners. We're gonna work that out, me and Mom. We're gonna get that together so you guys can hear, and maybe we can have something played for Saturday or something where the kids can actually listen on with Olivia. So I'm gonna work that out with the producer and see what we can do about that. Where you guys can call and when during a time where your children are available and they can actually listen and get the impartation from this beautiful anointed 10-year-old kingdom builder. And I just pray that her hands continue to prosper. Everything that she touches, your whole family is just such a blessing. And we definitely appreciate you on Dr. Gina's radio chat and just welcome you anytime. Can you give them the information that that you can be reached again, please? Anything, your dates, any upcoming events?
Absolutely. So my website, again, is Anitra, A-N-I-T-R-A, Durand, D-U-R-A-N-D, Allen, A-L-L-E-N, .com. I'm in the process of rebranding my The Mom on the Move, and it's all just like that, The Mom on the Move site. And I will actually be speaking on a panel at the Time for Mommy Retreat in Baltimore, November the 6th through the 8th. So if you all are in the area and you want to come, I think there's a few tickets left, and you can go to that website, Time for Mom Me, like M-E, like I'm the mom, Time for Mom Me, and that's being hosted by Mia Redrick. We're taking a little bit of a break in the winter. Olivia is dancing with the Louisville Ballet and the Louisville Nutcracker. So that will be our November and December activities. In February, she and I will be doing a Mommy and Me brunch. And so more information will be coming out for that. And I'll also be releasing my newest audio product. It'll be Raising Confident Kids. It'll be a four-part audio product that'll be available for purchase on my website. That'll be coming out before the end of the year, so I'll be sure to share that information with you, Dr. Gina, when it's available.
Oh, that's so good. I'm so glad. Well, thank you so much, Anitra. Thank you for being on the show and taking the time. I'm telling you, like I said, for those that are just tuning in, we had some technical difficulties, but sister came through. And she was so patient. See, that's what happens when you take emotions out of stuff. Things happen. Isn't that right, Anitra? We get so
that's
emotional.
Right.
We mess up stuff ourselves, right?
That's right. Stress comes from feeling like there are no other options. And there's always another option.
All right. Well, I appreciate you and thank you so much for being on. And I will be in touch with you soon to let you know, or we can get a schedule together about that so we can get these get our children to start hearing each other. Wouldn't that be great? I think that's a great idea. I'm really hoping that the producer can make that happen, that we can do Saturday
okay,
special. We'll make it a special. We'll call it something. Okay.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Anitra. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you so much for having
God
me.
God bless
really
you, sis.
It.
You're so welcome. And be looking for the archive. It's in the replay. All of that is going to be soon this week. We're going to be replaying it a lot more than what we normally would on the station. And so people will be able to tune in and get the information if they missed it or whatever. They'll be able to hear. Okay, so I'll keep you posted on all of that.
Great.
All right. See you later.
All right, have a wonderful day.
Okay, thanks. All right, well, this was Dr. Gina R. Prince, and like I always say, you never know. We are so blessed to be able to just connect and be able to network and everything. So within a few hours, the show will be available in archive, and it will play again at noon today, which is Pacific time, on station number one. We had to transfer over to station number two. For you guys who have been tuning in, like I said, we had some technical difficulties, but God is good. We made it through, so I'm so excited about that. Won't he do it? Yes, he will, every single time. If we just take ourselves out of it and look to him and allow him to make a way, he will always do it. Don't allow delay to hinder you. Just keep your eyes on God and keep telling, you know, make sure you let him know that, Lord, I'm waiting on you, and just let him do what he got to do, and it always works out. So I just wanted to say that to you guys. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I want you to live your life, live to the fullest, live with purpose, live with desire, live healthy, live whole, living destiny. And I'm loving you, Dr. Gina. Goodbye. Loving you. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Remember, God wants excellence from us. You can't achieve excellence unless you first excel. Please join us live on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat every other Wednesday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Central Time, and 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Until next time, loving you.